attitude. They seem to think they're just a little better than the rest of us. I could take you over to the horse pasture right this minute and show you several horses that fit that description. Casey, Happy, Popeye, Deuce, Calypso, Frisco, Sinbad, Macho Chief, Bonnie Bonita, and that smart aleck little cookie mare. Even Lightning, the Shetland pony, thinks he's hot stuff. What is particularly galling about horses is that, given the slightest opportunity, they will chase a dog. In other words, they not only pretend to be superior, but they will try to prove it. If there's anything more annoying than pretense, it's reality. And anything that weighs 1,000 pounds and bites, kicks, and stomps must be considered reality. We cow dogs are trained in the techniques of gathering, herding, and moving livestock, don't you see? These techniques are accepted and respected by cattle, sheep, goats, chickens, and hogs. In other words, we can do business with those animals. We may not like each other, but we all play by the same rules. When we dogs go into the pasture, we don't have to invent a new game every time. But horses? No, sir. They won't play the game. They make up their own game and their own rules, and they cheat. Anyway, I don't get much of a kick out of fooling with horses. Or to put it another way, I often get a kick out of fooling with horses, and those kicks hurt. Anyways, I made a visual contact only moments after we swooped past the front gate and zoomed out into the pasture. Mayday, mayday! Drover, I'm picking up a horse at 10 o'clock.
What are you gonna put him in?
What?
And we're already an hour late.
No, you don't understand. In combat situations, we switch over to combat terminology.
Oh!
Imagine that the enemy is standing on a giant clock. I had to explain all this while we were running.
Okay.
The 12 is facing due east, which means that the 6 is facing due west.
And 6 plus 12 makes 18.
Roger. Now, the enemy is located where the 10 would be if he were the little hand.
He doesn't look very little to me.
Roger. And that's why we say that we've spotted the enemy at 10 o'clock.
If he's the little hand, I'd sure hate to see the big one.
Just forget about the hands, Drover, and concentrate on the numbers.
I still can't see any numbers.
They're not supposed to be there. It's all imaginary.
Is that horse imaginary, too?
Negative.
That's what I was afraid of. Hank, is this an alarm clock?
Well, I'm not sure. Why do you ask?
I keep hearing alarm bells in my head. Do you see who that horse is?
I throttled back to an easy gliding pace and squinted my eyes at the alleged horse and... Huh? You might recall that only hours before, High Loper had told Sally Mae about the neighbor's one-lawed, out-eyed stud... That is, the one-eyed, outlawed stud horse. A heartless brute named Tuerto. I had forgotten the conversation myself, else I might not have been so anxious to answer the call and enter the case. For you see, the mysterious whinny had come not from your ordinary, arrogant, cheating, backstabbing saddle horses, which would have been bad enough, but from that same infamous one-eyed killer, Tuerto. Had I known that, I might have chosen to explore the far west end of ranch headquarters. Or let's put it this way. No ordinary dog would have chosen to go into combat against the villain Tuerto. But then, being ordinary has never been on my agenda, so there you are. And also, it was too late to turn back.
Hank, my leg's starting to hurt. I'm losing speed and altitude and attitude and just about everything else.
You're losing your courage is what you're losing. This is no time to come up lame.
I know. It's already 10 o'clock, but the machine shed's back at 6 o'clock, so maybe we better...
Stay in formation, Drover. We're going in for a look.
I don't need to go in for a look. I can see all I can stand right here.
Hang on, Drover. Here we go.
Oh, my leg.
We zoomed in for a look. Sure enough, it was Tuerto of the Gotch Eye. When he saw us streaking towards him, he tossed his head and stamped his right front foot. It was pretty clear at this point that he had no business in our home pasture. Hank to Drover, over. Confirm visual sighting at 11 o'clock.
I thought it was only 10 o'clock.
Roger, but suspect has moved 1 hour to the south.
Time sure flies when you're scared.
Roger, suspect has invaded our territorial territory. Prepare to initiate growling mode.
Hank, let's don't growl at him. He might think we're being unfriendly.
That's the whole point, Roger.
I'm Drover.
Of course you are. Ready? Mark, we have initiated growling mode 1 and are proceeding towards the target. I'm sure that a lot of this technical stuff sounds pretty heavy. I mean, you've got your Rogers and your modes and your coordinates and your procedures and so forth. And while it may sound complicated, it's not so bad once you get used to it. We were pretty much following the procedures outlined in Chapter 7 of the Cowdog Manual of Combat. You might want to put that on your list of outside reading and check it out in your spare time. I had hoped that once we initiated growling mode 1, the enemy would take the hint and leave. He continued to stamp his foot and make threatening gestures with his ears, mouth, teeth, and his one good eye. Hank to Drover, over. Stand by to initialize growling mode 2.
Oh my gosh!
Ready? Mark, we have initialized growling mode 2. Stand by to initialize growling mode 1.
Hank, what's the difference between initiate and initialize?
This is no time to ask questions, Drover. You should have learned all that in flight school.
Maybe I better go back to the machine shed and read.
Negative on the machine shed. Once you're in the soup, it's too late to read the recipe. Stand by to initiate barking mode 1.
You already said that once.
No, the first time we were initializing. Now we're fixing to initiate. Stand by.
I still don't understand the difference.
Mark and bark. We have initiated barking mode 1. The enemy should begin showing fear at any moment. We barked. Boy, howdy did we bark. Should have scared that horse right out of his skin, but, well, you might say that he didn't appear to be in a state of panic. What he did was toss his head and give us a toothy grin.
Come a little closer, little doggies, and I will stomp you into the dirt.
Okay, if that's the way he wanted it, we would have to proceed with the procedure and give him the whole 9 yards of scary and terrifying gestures. Hank to Drover, over. This is getting serious.
I was afraid of that.
Stand by to lift hair on back of neck and hair on back of back. Ready? Mark, we have hair lift up.
We have a wreck is what we have.
Now stand by to arm tooth lasers.
Tooth lasers?
Roger on the tooth lasers. Stand by. Ready?
No.
Mark, we have initialized tooth lasers. All tooth lasers armed and ready. Stand by for attack mode. Bearing 2300.
I thought it was 11 o'clock. Now he says it's 32. I don't understand.
Stand by to lock on target. 3, 2, 1. Mark.
Drover.
Roger.
Hank.
What?
Who are all these people?
Never mind. We have locked on target Puerto. Stand by for attack. Ready? Charge! Banzai! Even though I had reason to suspect that Drover wasn't prepared to carry out his assignment, we initiated the attack. I went in the first wave, leaving Drover to cover my flank and tail. With my tooth lasers blazing, I peeled off and went streaking towards target Puerto. Was I scared? Maybe. A little. Who wouldn't be scared of a murdering, gotch-eyed stud horse? But I swallowed my fear and went charging into the fray. The attack should have worked. I mean, we must have looked pretty awesome swooping in on him that way, with all our barking and raised hair and tooth lasers and everything. Yes, it should have worked. However, I wasn't exactly prepared for his cunning maneuver. As quick as a snake, he swapped ends and fired 2 hoof cannons at me. Fortunately for me and the ranch and the rest of the world, the cannon fire passed on both sides of my head, else I might not have had a head for the next 2 shots to pass between. I was struck, not by the cannon fire, but by the futility of attacking a 1,000-pound horse who was attacking back. I mean, one hit by them cannons of his, and I would have been spitting tooth lasers instead of using them. Suddenly, an old piece of cowdog wisdom came to mind. A triumph in battle beats a moral victory, but a moral victory beats a kick in the head. I decided to settle for a moral victory. Hank to Drover, over. Stand by to initiate retreat mode. I needn't have worried about Drover. He had vanished. Under the circumstances, that seemed a pretty good idea. I initiated the retreat mode and also vanished, returning to home base with a moral victory under my belt and a frenzied one-eyed stud horse hot on my trail.